Welcome to the Agency in Focus SOCOM, sponsored by Leidos. Now, here's your host, Tom Temin.
Troops in U.S. Special Operations Forces undergo physical training that sets the world standard for toughness and effectiveness. But special operators are also chosen for what goes on above the shoulders. Joint Special Operations University, or JSOU, is an important component in that educational part of the U.S. military elite and its international partners. During a recent Special Operations conference in Tampa, Florida, I spoke with the president of JSOU, Brian Marr.
We're an anomaly. We were created in the year 2000 by General Pete Schoomaker, a great visionary. If you track his career, he was the commander of the U.S. Special Operations Command at that time, but later on was called out of retirement to be the chief of staff of the Army. We were created before 9/11, and he just foresaw the difficulty, the complexity of the world, the dangers that were evolving in terrorism, and he believed, as I do, that we needed one more thing in our arsenal. We were well-trained, well-equipped, well-prepared for combat, but our intellectual capacity maybe needed a little bit of attention at that time. So he knew that many of our professional military education institutions just didn't have the time or the experts to be able to delve into special operations the way he believed we needed to do. So he created this this very unique school. We're the only formal schoolhouse under a combatant command directly. In fact, General Thomas, the commander today, is my direct reporting official. So we're not a war college. We're not a staff college. We don't give degrees. So the word university is kind of, borrowed, but we believe we live up to it in terms of standards and quality. And, the main thrust is we fill the niches that are needed in the special ops community or to actually beyond, our conventional brothers and sisters to make them better aware of how to employ us. The good side, the bad side, how to use us, how not to use us. So there's not a week goes by that we're not embedded in a war college course someplace. Sometimes it's in helping develop curriculum. Sometimes it's in role-playing in one of their exercises. And, of course, sometimes it's in a lecture or instructional mode.
So you provide intellectual content to the war colleges,
exactly,
and staff colleges.
In fact, we believe we're the DOD Center of Excellence for Special Operations Knowledge and Understanding. And I think that's something we live up to every day. It's not a formal title, but we want to be the niche that if you need to know something beyond, what you can get in a pamphlet or in a movie, and which is probably inaccurate and overstated, you would come to us, and we would devote, the resources necessary to make sure you got authentic special operations that fit into your program.
And how do you know what it is that are the educational needs of special operations? How do you know what courses to offer?
We stay connected. And I think that's one of the benefits and models that we used in JSOU. I have, we call them soft chairs, but they're liaisons at every war college and most of the staff colleges. I have liaisons that work for me that are vetted faculty that are at each of our component schoolhouses, like the John F. Kennedy Center at Fort Bragg or the Naval Special Warfare Center for SEAL and SWCC out in Coronado. And actually, I was just talking to General Mundy upstairs, the commander of MARSOC. We have a position dedicated to the Marine Raider Schoolhouse. We just don't have it filled at this time. But I was hoping before he moves on, we would have that filled.
And physically, you have a building, an actual place that has your name on it. Not Brian Marr, but the JSOU.
It's a beautiful new building dedicated really to the special ops warrior, the investment that our nation makes in making sure our special operators have everything they need. I think that's also the statement of the commitment that our command and really our nation, our department, makes toward education by investing the dollars in that to have a very unique, iconic building that represents, the excellence embedded in special operations.
You're listening to an interview with Brian Marr, president of Joint Special Operations University.
Talk about some of the curricula that is offered. I mean, what do people learn there that they can't learn anywhere else?
Well, we found, in fact, in our early days, we did a study of exactly that. Where should we fit in? And one of the key takeaways from that study, and it was a pretty comprehensive study, lasted over 6 months, was generally the special operations officer and non-commissioned officer, and in some cases civilians as well, it's an early to need for the education. So you can go to a staff college, an Air Force or Army staff college, as an O4, a major, or in the Navy's case, a lieutenant commander. And what you're getting there, the special operator equivalent is generally already experienced. So it comes too late in their career. So we try to invest earlier in that cycle, at least with the minimum requirement. So the way we've constructed, or really the attributes of our courses, they're all short courses. You know, 2 to 3 weeks. Our maximum is 9 weeks, and I'll explain that one here in a little bit. But they're usually a couple of days to a couple of weeks long, and they have a single theme, and that's centered around something in the special ops world. It can be command and control. It can be campaign planning. It can be decision making, problem solving in a complex environment. And it could be working with other federal agencies. We do several what we call interagency courses where we bring in some of our interagency brothers and sisters, and we're kind of sharing curriculum, sharing understanding, but best, you know, discussing case studies and maybe working through a problem that would confront us now or in the future, and finding out, you know, hey, how would a State Department or a Justice Department, or how does Treasury fit in into the money equation? And it's really, learning about things that maybe you don't get exposed to until late in your career, but we bring that in at an earlier age.
Yeah, so that as people move up the ranks in special operations, at some point they're going to have to deal with budgets and acquisition and defense policy and the Pentagon and that whole complex, which is normally pretty far removed from the day-to-day operations.
Absolutely. And actually, that's how you thrive and get ahead. Yeah, as you know, the special operations community has its own acquisition, authority. It has its own budget. So therefore, it's doing its own programming and planning. So it has to be very versed in that. You can't just be the operator and get thrown into that. Now, we don't teach acquisition, and we don't teach budget management. What we do, but we have courses in both. What we do is teach the special operations nuance. So we expect you to come as knowing the acquisition system, but then we'll teach how do you adapt that to the needs of the special operator. And some of that is, you know, just speed, relevancy, you know, small scale, because you're not dealing with millions, you're dealing with, you know, thousands or hundreds of items. And we make them then more capable in those specialties that they're already versed in, but in the special operations world.
And who is the faculty if you're teaching something like campaign planning, which is very, you know, unique within special operations versus the other branches of the military? Does that have to be taught by special operations people?
Generally so, but obviously not exclusive. If it was an acquisition course or a problem solving, it might be a non-military person. In the early days, JSOW started was very, very operationally focused. And so the main thrust would be, number one, military people, but of the mid to more senior grades, not the new person coming in. You needed to have a tactical competency and understanding of what a special operator was. But a heavy dose of civilians, both government civilians as GSs, but also some contracted faculty where we could pick the requirements and bring in then those experienced and knowledgeable subject matter experts as our faculty. We groom the men as true faculty members. We do a great development program of making sure they're competent and understand, you know, learning theories, you know, what makes a student learn best, and then marry that up with their, academic or their operational experience, and then we put them in the classroom, and we found that very effective. Lately, as we've moved into more strategic themes, like a campaign planning, where you're really trying to appreciate, you know, like the interagency side of it, and the whole political decision-making apparatus that's centered in Washington, D.C., that's a deeper understanding. And so now you're looking at a nuanced faculty member that has those credentials, and we seek that out. One of the decisions I made some years ago is many of those upper-level courses, we bring in a senior mentor. And I found that, just that person, generally a retired ambassador, a retired general or flag officer who's had those experiences and really gets the education piece and the need for it. The effectiveness of them in the classroom, kind of just raises the standard both of the instructors and the students, and it's the discussion then that becomes the great takeaway and the meaningful part of a course like that.
That's Brian Marr, president of Joint Special Operations University. In part two of the interview, Marr describes how special operators choose precisely which courses to take. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos is proud to support U.S. SOCOM and its mission to protect America's interests around the world. SOCOM's can't-fail missions can't afford anything less than the latest cutting-edge technology. That's why at Leidos, we develop adaptive and agile solutions, utilizing open systems architecture that rapidly integrates new innovations, ensuring special operations forces have the decisive advantage on the battlefield. At Leidos, we're helping SOCOM achieve mission success today and transform mission readiness for tomorrow. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
Special Operations Command puts a lot of resources into its educational wing, known as Joint Special Operations University, or JSOU. Yet no one is required to take any of its wide range of courses. In part two of my interview, JSOU President Brian Marr explains how it works and why.
Almost all of the JSOU courses are self-registration. There is no course that you are forced to take. Now, it's highly recommended in many cases, but for career progression or for getting a certain job, you're not required, and we try not to force that on them. We want to have it more the senior leader encouraging or saying, hey, this is a course you need to take, or even a peer that has taken one goes back to their unit, and as they either are talking to their contemporaries or looking at their subordinates, they encourage them then to take those courses. And that's why we have the short course. It becomes it doesn't encumber the individual where they're breaking away from their unit or their duties for long periods of time. They can generally manage those 1 week, 2 week, even sometimes a third week, and still carry on in their normal assigned duties.
And you mentioned one course is 9 weeks. What's that one?
I did, and thanks for asking. We started JSOU at Herbert Field, Florida, up in the Panhandle, and actually under the guise of the Air Force Special Operations School, which was, I call it the incubator. It helped us get our start when we were just, couple of dozen of us. Now we're over 160 full-time faculty members. One of the things that we evolved as we were leaving Herbert and coming down to Tampa, a decision we knew we needed to make, back to the flagpole to where, the center of the special ops joint world is, at least, we started investing in non-commissioned officer education. And we started a senior enlisted academy, the equivalent of what the services do for their senior enlisted, their E8s and E9s. That became the 9 week. And what we wanted to do, we wanted to make sure that our course garnered the credit that the Army course of a year long would give, or the Air Force or the Navy or Marine courses, somewhat shorter than those, that there would be equivalency and they wouldn't have to do this twice. So what we did was, that was our first true blended learning course as well, where we had 6 months of distance learning, online learning, now on the order a magnitude of about 5-6 hours a week. So again, you could stay in your job, even in a combat zone, and still complete the requirements. It was all knowledge-level information, but it was also assembling you in small cohorts where you're interacting with other students, learning their pluses and minuses, and the socialization. Then you would come to the classroom, the resident portion. That was 9 weeks. We actually started at 8 and expanded it a little bit, but it becomes the assimilation of the course where now you're in the seminar room with your contemporaries, dealing with each other, problem solving together, challenging each other, and we found that the richness of that environment, was just second to none. And so the blended of the two, and then the slightly longer to really have some social time, get to know your buddy, you form lifelong partnerships that you take out as that senior E8 or junior E9, that may last you 5 to 10 years remaining of your career, that you now have confidants and valued advisors out there in the force.
Brian Marr is president of Joint Special Operations University. I'm Tom Temin.
Leidos is proud to support U.S. SOCOM and its mission to protect America's interests around the world. SOCOM's can't-fail missions can't afford anything less than the latest cutting-edge technology. That's why at Leidos, we develop adaptive and agile solutions, utilizing open systems architecture that rapidly integrates new innovations, ensuring special operations forces have the decisive advantage on the battlefield. At Leidos, we're helping SOCOM achieve mission success today and transform mission readiness for tomorrow. To learn more, visit leidos.com.
You're listening to an interview with Brian Maher, president of Joint Special Operations University.
Now, often, you know, the emphasis you hear when people talk about special operations or you see television stories about them, it emphasizes the physical aspects of it. You're talking to the mental aspect of special operations. What, my sense is you have to have a lot of intelligence to operate successfully in special operations. What are the students like? What is their level of engagement that you find in this particular universe?
Oh, these are all type A individuals. And remember, you know, invariably the special operator has been selected for that position. So they've already had some psychological, mental, as well as physical selection criteria applied. But it also goes for what we call the enablers, you know, the intelligence supporters, the communicators, the logisticians, and even the medical and the chaplains, you know, come in that where they want to be there. So they're seeking out these positions, and they know they're challenging them. So they look toward the education of giving them that edge, that understanding earlier in their career or earlier in the assignment with special ops, so they don't have to kind of learn by on-the-job training. And we find that very powerful. We do see a very aggressive, you know, a classroom environment, and hence why we as the instructor cadre try to be more the facilitators and not be preaching at what should be. They have the combat experience, they have the worldliness, they really understand the current environment. It's just controlling that to achieve the student learning outcome, and I think we do that very successfully.
It sounds as if that the distance learning idea probably is not as effective in this situation, because you've stressed on several points the interaction of the students among themselves and the conversations and the discussions and arguments that are really key to what it is they want to get out of the courses.
Well, as you know the special operator of any service, any rank, is very, very busy these days, and that demand signal will continue. So we had to have the understanding that we could not create long courses and expect, you know, the attendance, at least for the attendance that needed those courses. They were too valuable to the mission, to the unit, to whatever the job was they were in. So that's why it was really out of necessity. But yet, you know, the special operator wanted the knowledge, wanted, you know, to seek that that learning to be able to advance. So the blended course became what we shot for. We do several postgraduate equivalent courses right now. And what we again, to get the credit hours necessary just to transfer, say, to a civilian college, you have to have a certain amount of contact hours. But again, you can't. We don't want to do it in a semester-long format, because we would have empty classrooms. So again, we do a 3-4 week, you know, online interaction, and then a 2 week in the classroom. But again, high intensity, ready to go from day one, no build-up time, and you just kind of throw them in the pressure cooker, and they do pretty well there.
Now, special operations is, of course, joint among the main, you know, the military services of the United States. It's also, there's a big international joint operations sort of cooperation. Do you get international students to JSOL?
Absolutely. Another thing there, this came after 9/11. The Department of Defense came up with a counterterrorism fellowship program that JSOW just believed we were part of that. You know, counterterrorism is a soft mission, and so JSOW embraced that from the beginning. So we've been doing a special ops combating terrorism course, an advanced version, countering violent extremist course, and we just about a year ago put on an executive course. So it's almost we can take someone from a mid-grade right up to a very senior on our international partners. And by the way, we don't exclude our U.S. They're part of the student body as well. But we do that fairly routinely. Right now at JSOW at MacDill, we have one of those in session. It's in its second week. And we have students from Pakistan and students from Nigeria and, you know, several other countries, you know, around the globe that are now discussing combating terrorism, you know, strategies, what works in their region. They may not have a terrorism problem, but their piracy or smuggling or, you know, criminal has the elements of terrorism in there. So there's always something you can take away and learn from one of your compatriots across the globe.
And you alluded to this, but you also get students from the regular armed services.
We do.
And do they get the encouragement to come to a special operations course from their commanders and get the budget and time they need to do it?
We do. Again, in many of the courses, it's we open it to anybody. That has the right target audience. It's not just every lieutenant in the world. Come on. In fact, we look for the mid-grade to senior level where, as I said before, already vetted in your specialty, and now you're looking for the nuance, the next steps that you can take to have a deeper understanding. But, our four main target areas, of course, is United States Special Ops Force first and foremost. And as long as we're satisfying that goal, we open then the course to general purpose force soldiers, airmen, Marines, sailors. We open it up to some of the courses, and we try every course to open it up to international partners. Obviously, we can't do it for all, and also interagency. And so we're always trying to bring that group together, at least in the right course, that has that blended.
And give us some of the numbers. How many people come through every year, and what percentage is civilian that support joint operations?
Well, we actually touch 13,000 students. But I use that word touch very carefully because that may be a seminar for an hour that I do at a war college. I'd go to National Defense University once a year, and I give a three-hour lecture to 12 students. So we count that. If I take away all that outside support and look only at our resident courses, it's about 4,000 students that would be in our short courses, legitimate students that are registered, stay the entire time, are tested, successfully complete the course. We have about another 4,000 that are taking online-only courses. We have several of those, and that registration is just wide open. And that's really the basics of special ops, intro to special ops, command and control of special ops. And so you get a wide variety of people, including internationals, that will take those courses. So that's another 4,000. And then our enlisted academy that I talked about, we actually have four levels of it. The course I described is level 3, the E8. We do an E6, an E7, and then a super E9, where you're nominated to work with a flag officer. Of those, it's a little over 1,000. So that's how I get my 13,000, or it just depends upon which category you're talking
about.
But
it's a busy place.
It certainly is. We built the building. And by the way, we just dedicated that a little over a year ago. So it's brand new. It was designed specially for JSOW. And when we designed that, we thought there was a little growth in there. But many weeks, we have every classroom filled, which is kind of a nice thing to see.
And what is your own background? How did you come to become president of JSOW?
Thanks for asking that, too. The story I tell is the Army gave me that ability. I was an Air Force officer and retired in the year 2000 from the Air Force Special Operations School. I was the commandant. At the same time, General Schoomaker was talking about this JSOW thing. So he and I knew each other. We conversed quite a bit during that to kind of develop that concept. So I was part and parcel with that. And then one day he just reached out as I was coming near retirement, and actually another gentleman named General Charlie Holland, who came after General Schoomaker in the job as the commander of SOCOM, said, "Hey, Brian, you got to be part of this university." And I became its first dean, quite frankly. And then later on, they converted the president's position from an Army general officer to an SES, and I applied and had the right credentials for the job.
Brian Morris, president of Joint Special Operations University, will post the interview in its entirety at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive. Subscribe at iTunes or Podcast One. I'm Tom Tenen.
Thank you for listening to Agency in Focus, SOCOM, sponsored by Leidos on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. The entire program can be found on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Search Agency in Focus.